Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, Paul Savage, Jad Chambers producing the program. It's always fun as we get a chance to pick our favorite games of the weekend in both college football and the NFL with our Friday football picks. Here's the great thing about technology today, and as most folks know, we have a live video stream now, so you can pull up the show. You can watch the show on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, also simulcasting on 12 News Connected. So you can join us there. But it also allows our folks to join the program basically from wherever they are. So we're going to bring in everybody that we've got. First off, Jacob Albrecht. You, I think it looks like you loaded up the station wagon. You're on like a huge family. It's kind of like, National Lampoon's Vacation that I feel like you guys have going on.
That's what it feels like. We are about to cross into Iowa on this drive to the land of Brandon Center in Minnesota. We're making our way, but we got the full crew. I don't know if you can see behind me. I think you can. They're crammed back there with three of them.
Yeah, it's prayers for you, my friend. Like, God bless you on this trip, taking the family out to Minnesota. And then, of course, Brandon Zinner is on the golf course right now. I'm pretty jealous. Looks like you're having a great round there, Brandon. Are you under par right now?
We are not under par, but we're doing better than so we got this cart whenever I got here, and Jared, whoever played here yesterday, was kind enough to leave their card in the cart. So sorry if you're listening, Jared, but he shot a 123, so it seems like he's having a great time. Good enough to leave his cart behind, but doing just a little bit better than that today.
That's a low bar that you have to get over, a 123. So hopefully you're able to shoot better than that. And then TJ, you've kind of got a boring morning going on compared to both Jacob and Brandon.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get K-State another national championship here on college football. I got a tee time at 11:30, though, so I'm going to be joining Brandon soon.
All right, I love that. We're going to get going with our Friday football picks. Before we jump into this week's games, Jad, let's give a quick recap on where things stand through 3 weeks.
All right, well, just taking a look at how things have gone here. Last week, Jacob, I know you don't want to talk about this, but you went 2-4 last week.
That's not bad, considering how my season's gone so far.
It really isn't. Tommy, you also went 2-4. Brandon, you also went 2-4. TJ, 1-5.
Yikes.
Yeah. Now, Paul won the week, and again, last week's winner went 3-3, so you only got 500. But I do want to remind everybody, and I made sure to remind Paul of this the other day, too. Paul only took two of those wins that he got because you gave him islands. Technically, Paul's judgment was 1-5.
I love that.
That hurts.
The overall win-loss record says 3-3, but we all know in his head he's 1-5.
We don't need to bring that kind of stuff up. What is wrong with you, Jad?
I love that. That's great. You know, Paul has an overall cumulative lead. Right now he's gone 12-5 through the first 3 weeks of the season, which is pretty impressive. I'm the only other person over 500 right now through the first 3 weeks. So, gentlemen, you've got an opportunity to hopefully try to gain some ground here with these six games. Jad, let's go ahead and hit the music, and we will get right in to our picks of the weekend. Let's start in the college football world. We'll start with the Jayhawks. They are on the road at Morgantown. That's a tough place for them to play. They are 2.5-point dogs on the road against the Mountaineers. It's been a rough stretch for the Jayhawks, as we have talked about at length. Jacob, let's start with you. This very first game, what do you like, the Jayhawks and the Mountaineers in Morgantown?
Well, I like the under again. The under's been fruitful, but that's not an option here. So, look, if KU can't get it done, if they can't get desperate enough to figure it out against West Virginia, then it's gonna be a real long Big 12 season for them. So I'm gonna take Kansas to figure this thing out this week. The changes, run the ball with Jalen Daniels. I think just like the last 2 weeks, they are the better team. That, of course, hadn't been enough, but getting a few points here, I'll take the Jayhawks.
Brandon, how about you? We'll go to you next. I hope you're not in the middle of hitting a shot right now, so hopefully you can see your golf club. Let's get that pick really quick. That way you can hit this next shot. What do you like?
No, we're good. Yeah, we're walking out. We got a little chip shot off the green here. But, yeah, kind of what Jacob said, I just don't think KU is – I don't think they're bad enough to lose three games in a row. And this West Virginia squad, they haven't shown a whole lot. I think KU's going to figure out, go into Morgantown, run the ball 30 times with Devin Neal, get Daniel Hyshaw involved more. That's something that they really haven't done the last 2 weeks. And I think that they're going to get that flipped around. And I think KU's going to cover the 2.5. They have a chance to leave Morgantown on a positive note to start Big 12 play.
All right, so two picks so far out of two for the Jayhawks. TJ, how about you?
I'm going to go with the same as them. I don't know if I'm betting with my heart or my head, but I'm in the same boat. I think that they get it turned around. I know I said this last week that I felt like the team was listening and they understand what they did wrong at Illinois and they were going to flip the script. I think that they really need to listen and flip the script now, listen to them talk again. They're actually going to make a physical change between Jeff Grimes and Jim Zabrowski and see if that makes a difference, but I think that they're going to get the job done more than them.
All right, 3 for 3 so far. I'll go next. And look, I was at that game at Children's Mercy on Friday. It was extremely disappointing. It was extremely frustrating. The defense, I thought, played really well. They just couldn't hang on because of all the bad situations they were put in by the offense. The Jayhawks are in desperation mode right now. That can go one of two ways. Unfortunately, I think for Kansas, Big 12 play starts on the road in Morgantown. And even though West Virginia is not a dominant team this season, at home, and they've got some pressure on their shoulders too. I like the Mountaineers. I'm going to take West Virginia. I'm going to lay the 2.5. So I'm going to go West Virginia. Paul, how about you? Do you like the Jayhawks or the Mountaineers?
Darn you, Tommy. Darn you. You were supposed to take KU and give me the island because I'm going to take West Virginia as well. You brought up a lot of questions. Can they run the football? Yes, they can run the football. Can they throw the football? I'm not so sure. Can they sustain drives? I'm still not so sure. Can they play defense? They're not bad. I'm still not convinced they're as good as you guys think they are. There's a lot of questions about KU that I don't know. Going into Morgantown's not easy. That's a tough place to go. West Virginia has always been good at home. I don't know if this is that good a team, but you're going to give me a 2.5 points. I'm going to take West Virginia as well. So, Tommy, you ought to feel pretty all right. good. Going along with me, because after all, I'm right most of the time.
You know, we are the only two players over 500 right now through 3 weeks, so there's that does reason. Make some sense. Let's go to the Wildcats. It's a late night game. It's Big 12 after dark on the road in Provo as the Wildcats go to take on BYU. Both teams are 3-0. The Wildcats had a really great offensive explosion last Friday night, taking on Arizona at home. The Wildcats are laying 7 points. Brandon, your thoughts on this game? We'll start with you.
Yeah, I think you're going to take BYU with 7 points at home. Yeah, not so fast. I think back to a couple years ago, we had the K-State road trip to Oklahoma where they started Big 12 playoff in wild fashion. I think Adrian Martinez ran for like 3 touchdowns that game. I think, TJ, you were down there if I remember right. I mean, this kind of just gives me flashbacks to that. I think K-State's going to go on the road. They're going to pull out all the stops, empty the playbook, just start Big 12 playoff in a hostile environment with the W. Give me K-State by 7 points. Well, a big number, but I'll lay it against.
Yeah. Laying those 7 points, and Brandon likes it. TJ, how about you?
I'm going to go in the same boat there. I think that if they can cover 7 points against the number 14 team in the country, they can cover 7 points against BYU. I know it's in Provo at midnight, basically, but I think that this K-State team, they look the best that they have last week. We've said every single week that if they can just cut that offense loose, then they can be really dangerous. Last week showed some glimpses of that. I think that if they keep that trend up, they can cover against anybody. I'm taking them.
Yeah, you know, the only thing that gives me a little bit of pause is, like you said, Brandon, about the TJ, about how late of a game it is, and it's in Provo, and weird things can happen when it's a late night game. That being said, though, it was super impressive for what K-State did at home against Arizona a week ago. Arizona's a good football team, and I've said it all week, the Wildcats kind of flexed, and I think that they'll flex again. I called it a potential coming out party, I guess, for Avery Johnson last week. I think the entire team, it's kind of a coming out party for them this weekend, where they can really solidify their place at the top of the college football rankings. And so I really like the Wildcats. I'm going to lay those 7 points. Paul, how about you? You'll go next.
Well, I'm going to be a little bit of a contrarian because I've got a couple questions for you guys. How many national championships has K-State won? That answer is zero. How many national championships has BYU won? they've won a national championship. How many Heisman winners does K-State have? That'd be zero. How many Heisman Trophy winners does BYU have? That's the answer is one. So with that being said, I'm taking BYU.
Yeah, those teams from the 30s are the impact is still looming large for BYU. Yeah, look, I'll just go. K-State's ascending. Can they cover 7 on the road and a home? I mean, that's a big number, but I think it's big for a reason. And it was interesting that Fitz yesterday pointed out all the injuries across BYU. This will be a good test for the K-State defense, but I think the offense is ascending to a level where it shouldn't matter anymore. So I'll just lay the points. I think K-State's on the right path.
All right, I like that. And, you know, that's the first island of the week, and Paul gets it for taking the historical nature of BYU over what's happening in this millennium, which is a weird way to do it. But, hey, you know, Paul, who are we to judge you? You're the only one, like, dominating right now in these picks.
I dominated last year on my NIL selections one weekend.
Yeah.
You've dominated based on the color of uniforms.
I have, haven't I? That's exactly right.
It's bizarre. Let's go to our final college game before we move into the NFL. It's a top 25 matchup. I'm really intrigued by this game. The Volunteers of Tennessee going to Norman to take on OU. The Sooners are 6.5-point home underdogs in this game. It's going to be, I think, just wild and just a crazy game with two top 25 teams. TJ, let's start with you. What do you like in this matchup?
I love Tennessee in this matchup. I know last week, by the way, I think I took Tulane to cover the 13, but in my actual sports book, I got them live at 21, so I think I should count for something that they did cover that number. I think Tennessee covers this against Oklahoma. I think the Iamaleava is awesome as quarterback. This could be the really big coming out party for Tennessee. Their schedule's been pretty easy thus far. And Oklahoma just really hasn't looked the part. They've played everybody close, and I can't imagine that they can get away with that against the number 6 team in the country. I'm taking Tennessee.
Well, it's also a homecoming for Josh Heupel, you know, coming back to Norman in this game tomorrow. I just have such a hard time thinking of Oklahoma as almost a touchdown home underdog. That's just wild for me to wrap my head around. And I guess just because of that, I think OU can keep it within a touchdown at home, even though they haven't been able to really dominate so far this season. The fact that, you know, they're at home and they're getting points, I'm going to take the Sooners. I really like that. Paul, how about you? You'll go next.
Well, you know, I wanted to take Tennessee, but TJ took him. TJ, he's not doing too good, is he? I don't know whether I should take this pick or not, but, you know, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. I'm going to go with Tennessee, partly because I like the connection with Heupel coming home to OU. You know, he wants to make a point, and his team will want to make a point for him. I'm going to go ahead and take Tennessee as well.
All right, Jacob, you are up next. What do you like in this game?
Well, I like that we're stopping in small town Missouri at a truck stop. So if I don't make it home, you guys will know where to look. If I'm still with you, something happened here. I'm going to make a spite pick here because I'm mad at OU for costing me a lot of money with that backdoor field goal cover last week. So I'm going to take Tennessee out of spite. How about that? How does that
I
work for
like
you?
It. That's as good a reason as any.
Making a pick with your heart and not your head. Brandon, you're last. What do you like in this pick?
I just do not trust Josh Heupel in the offense to go on the road. I mean, this is a historic SEC matchup. I mean, these two teams are longtime conference rivals. I mean, how are you going to take OU at home against a conference rival in this spot? I'm taking OU. I think I'm going to cover the 6.5. I just don't trust that Josh Heupel offense on the road.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be a wild game. And obviously, we've got couple different picks here, so it looks like three on Tennessee and two on OU. So let's go ahead and move to the NFL now. The Eagles and Saints. This is probably my pick for my favorite game of the entire weekend because the Saints have looked like absolute juggernauts through the first 2 weeks of the year, especially offensively. Derek Carr is out there balling out, and nobody expected that. They are 3-point home favorites with the Eagles coming to town. The Eagles are very nearly 2-0 had it not been for the Falcons in primetime last week. Paul, let's start with you. What do you like in this game?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm buying in with the Saints one. I really am. I kind of agree with you. It's a fascinating story. It's one that's kind of jumped up. I didn't see this one coming. And you know something? You got to ride that train for just a little bit. Right now, the Saints are sort of the in thing, the thing that has surprised everybody. I'm surprised. I think everybody that's making picks today on this show is a little surprised. The Saints, let's buy in 1 week. What the heck? Why not? I'm going to take the Saints. I'm buying in. I'm going to buy in with the Saints.
I have a hard time thinking that New Orleans will be able to, you know, duplicate what they've done through the first 2 weeks for the remainder of the season.
That might be.
Who knows? I mean, who knows? They've looked really good so far. Jacob, I know that you're hopefully you haven't disappeared off the map in that truck stop. You're up next.
Eagles. I don't want to read too much into the Saints dominating in a classic Mike McCarthy dud game for the Cowboys, so I'll take the Eagles.
All right. Jacob likes the Eagles. Let's go back to Brandon Zinner. Brandon, you're up.
I just don't know how this is the game of the week in your eyes when you have Sam Darnold and the Vikings hosting 2-0 Houston Texans, CJ Stroud. I think even all bias aside, that's my favorite game of the week. But I like the home team here. I like what the Saints have done. I think they're going to keep it rolling. I think they're just creating a lot of mismatches right now. And how can you just bet against them at this point? Give me the Saints.
All right, TJ, you're next.
I saw a stat this morning on Twitter that the murder rate in New Orleans is at an all-time low this month. There hasn't been a single murder in 18 days. I'm riding with the Saints because what a time to be in New Orleans right now. It's insane what's happening in that city, and the football is insane as well. Give me the Saints. The Eagles didn't do it for me on Monday Night Football. I'm picking New Orleans.
You're going to have a better week this week because you're now figuring out how do you pick on this show. You're starting to figure it out.
Clearly, the residents of New Orleans are much happier through the first 2 weeks of the season, and that's why that crime rate has gone down. I love that stat, by the way. I'm also taking New Orleans, but I'm not taking them because of that. I just think that, you know, what they've been able to do through the first 2 weeks offensively is pretty impressive. Again, like I said, I don't know if that will maintain throughout the entire season. I don't think it will, but I think through 3 weeks, it can definitely, and I'm just not a believer in the Eagles. I just really am not. I don't like Nick Sirianni. I don't think that he's got control of this team, even though they do have a ton of talent. And you know, AJ Brown, without him, they look kind of pedestrian offensively. So give me the Saints. I'm going to lay those 3 points at home. The Ravens and the Cowboys, let's do that game next. And Jacob, I'm gonna start with you with this game, because I did this on purpose, because obviously you're a Cowboys guy. They looked really good in the first week on the road at Cleveland, and then their very first home game in Jerry World, they laid an egg against those Saints. They're back at home against the Ravens, who are 0-2. Is this a trap game in your mind? What do you like here from the Cowboys? We got you muted, Jacob. You got to unmute yourself, my friend.
There we go. Okay, so I don't think it's a trap game. I think it's just a little strange. For a couple of reasons. One, as much as McCarthy likes the dud games after a big game, he likes the opposite of that too. They could come out and be world beaters. I have a hard time because I do not remember the last time the Cowboys got points at home. And I also can't imagine the Ravens being 0-3. This is a really, really hard game. I'll take the Cowboys at home in a response game, and that means the Ravens would be 0-3, which is hard to imagine. I don't feel good about it at all. But I do think they're due for a response, and we'll see if they can get it here against the Ravens.
Yeah, as of right now, the Ravens are laying a point. So it's basically a money line type game. It's a coin flip type game. Brandon, you're up next. Ravens and Cowboys. Ravens, are you riding with them laying 1 point on the road?
This is a weird game, as Jacob was talking about, because how often do we see the Cowboys at home underdogs? But I don't think anybody in the NFL expects the Ravens to start 0-3. And so I think this is just, while he thinks it's a response game for the Cowboys, I think it's a response game for the Ravens. They have two one-score losses. They've been right there. I would not be surprised if the Ravens go in there and put a beating down on the Cowboys as well. Give me the Ravens.
All right, TJ, what do you like? Do you like the Cowboys getting a home point, or do you think the Ravens come in and beat the Cowboys in Dallas?
I've been going back and forth because my head says that it's got to be the Ravens, which probably means that it's going to be the Cowboys based on how the picks have gone so far. But I'm going to go with Brandon on this one, that I think that the Ravens are just too talented to be 0-3. And weird things happen in Jerry World, as we saw last week. So I think it's a response game. I still think Lamar has been playing awesome, even in the losses. So something's got to give. I think it gives this week.
Yeah, don't underestimate the fact that the Ravens do not absolutely want to be 0-3, and it's kind of desperation mode. You know, John Harbaugh is kind of in uncharted territory. It, you know, really doesn't, he hasn't had his Ravens teams historically at this place, and so I think they will do everything in their power to avoid that. I think they go to Dallas, and I think they win by a touchdown or more, and I like the Cowboys, but I was really surprised about their effort at home a week ago, so give me Baltimore. I'm going to lay the 1 point. Paul, how about you? Are you riding with Brandon and I here with the Ravens, or are you jumping on with Jacob?
Well, you know something? The Cowboys, Jacob, I hate to say this, but they're not studs on defense. They're a little soft. I'm not crazy about their ability to stop the run, particularly with what their quarterback brings and the ability to scramble, to make plays, to do those kind of things. Although Parsons is going to be fun to watch this guy. He may make a ton of tackles. I don't know. But right now, I just don't know how I buy into the Dallas Cowboys. They're my number two team in the NFL. They're my number two team. I'm a Texas guy at heart when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I guess I got to take the Ravens because, after all, I'm a serious player in this game with you guys.
All right, so that's the second island of the week. Jacob gets it. He's riding that Cowboys island, which is a little nerve-wracking for me if I were him, but it is what it is. Our final game that we're going to pick here on the six-game slate, in my opinion, is the toughest game of the weekend to pick, and I still don't exactly know what direction I'm going to go. The Kansas City Chiefs in primetime on the road in Atlanta. They're laying 3 points against a Falcons team that is 1-1. Kirk Cousins led them to a last-second victory a week ago. Brandon, let's start with you. We'll have you kick things off for our final pick here. Do you think the Chiefs can cover that spread they didn't cover a week ago against the Bengals? What do you like here?
I'm picking the Chiefs for one reason only. It's two words. His name is Kirk Cousins. I don't like him in primetime. I don't like him in general. He got the last laugh when he literally won in primetime just on Monday. But I just don't trust Kirk Cousins in primetime. I watched him burn bridges in Minnesota for too many years at night. So, plus the white on whites. Are you going to bet against the Chiefs and the white on whites? Give me the Chiefs by at least more than three. I want to say a million, but I'm not that confident.
That sounds like another spite pick going on today. So that's fine. That's a great way to pick with your heart, not your head. TJ, how about you?
While I've got the soapbox here, I want to go on the record and say that the Chiefs white on whites might be their worst uniform. It's the most overrated in football. I can't.
Wow.
Anyways, I'm going to go. I think I'm betting with the heart again on this one. I'm picking the Chiefs to cover this one. I know we just saw what we saw the Falcons do on Monday night, but I also watched that week one game where they lost to nothing but field goals to the Steelers. I think that there's a lot of talent in Atlanta. I don't know if they've got it all together yet, and I don't think that the week to do it is against the defending back-to-back Super Bowl champs. The Chiefs are going to win this one by more than three.
You know, I think what makes this game difficult is the fact that, you know, through the first two games of the season, the Chiefs are 1-1 against the spread. And really, the only reason they're not 0-2 against the spread is Isaiah Likely's toenail. That's the only reason why they at least cover that number in week number one against the Ravens. So they've not been good, really, honestly, against the spread this season. For that fact and that fact alone, I think I'm going to take the Falcons and I'm going to take those points at home. And honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with the skill position players that the Falcons have. The Chiefs obviously are without Brown. They're without Pacheco. Patrick Mahomes did not look good a week ago. I think the Chiefs will win the game, but they have kept every game very, very close, too close so far this season. Because of Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and the crew around Kirk Cousins, I'm going to take the Falcons and I'll take those home points. Paul, how about you?
Well, the Chiefs like to win by one, it seems like, doesn't it? I mean, they're getting in there. Now, here's the thing. I took the Chiefs and gave the points, still won, but the Chiefs didn't cover the points. That's going to happen again. This is going to be a one-point game, maybe a two-point game. So I'm going to take the Falcons and have the best of both worlds. The Chiefs win, I cover. I like the Falcons. I'm going to take them. Chiefs win by one.
Jacob, you are last here. What do you like here? Are you going to jump on board with the Chiefs or are you going to ride with the Falcons?
So here's what I don't like is that the Falcons have a pretty good tight end.
And that's been a problem for the Chiefs. They have a good pass catching running back, which has been a problem historically for the Chiefs. They're on the road. Here's what I really don't like. Atlanta has a pretty good run defense, and I do think the Chiefs need to run the ball. However, I think this is the game Travis Kelce unlocks just a little bit. I am a believer in Carson Steele leading the backfield, and so I think he is motivated out of his shoes to be good in this game. I think it's close. I like the under. Are we going 3 or 3.5 on this one? Remind me.
I got the line this morning at 3. So
I'm going to take the Chiefs. If it was 3.5, I might not. But these Butker games keep happening. I'll take it at 3. I'll take the Chiefs. This is going to be a really interesting test for them.
Yeah, I even mentioned in the first hour that I wasn't going to actually bet this game until I saw where the line finished on Sunday morning, because I think it could go a couple different directions, but at least four.
I would love to get it at 2.5. I would love to get it at 2.5.
Same here. If it drops to that point, then at that point, I'll probably end up betting this game. But for right now, I'm going to stay away from it. It's going to be a fun primetime matchup. It'll be a fun weekend overall. Gentlemen, I don't know about you, but after all of that, I'm exhausted. Are you guys exhausted after making those picks? Because that was a wild segment with, you know, Jacob, you're at some sketchy truck stop in middle of nowhere, Missouri. Brandon is burning holes all over the place. I mean, it's just been, there's been a lot going on here in the last 25 minutes.
Yeah, either you're welcome to the video audience, or I'm sorry for how shaky the camera work has been the last half hour. But
yeah.
You know, life goes on, fellas. Life is wonderful, isn't it? To do this kind of stuff while you're having fun.
It's on the fly. Live radio. It's on the fly.
This is everybody's having fun.
Yep. We'll let Jacob and Brandon go. TJ will hang on with us into the next segment, and we'll talk a little high school sports, talk catch at Kansas, everything going on in the high school football world. That's coming up for you on the other side. We'll be right back. Tommy Caster, Paul Savage at Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily on KFH. Tommy Caster and Paul Savage. TJ Cleland from 12 News and Catch It Kansas continues here with us on the program. Hopefully, fellas, you guys were able to catch your breath a little bit during the break as we get in talking high school football. TJ, we've got a lot to talk about in the high school football world, you know, especially the City League games, the game of the week from a week ago with Northwest and East, that whole game and everything. But where I want to get started, and really the only reason that I want to bring this up first, is because out my window right now, I can see the stadium. And so it's top of mind for me. Andover, their game a week ago against Mays, that was a big win for Andover. Is this program for real? We talked last week about how they very nearly got a win in week one. It definitely seems like this program that was down in the dumps a season ago is now starting to turn things around.
Yeah, I'm glad we're starting with that, because that was going to be my main point. Is even though my picks were terrible last week, I said that Mays better be on the lookout because Andover could get that one done. So yeah. Happened here on KFH. Go back, look at the podcast. It's there. I think that Andover, like we said, we've covered them for the past couple of years. I know last year was an 0-9 year. The year before, they only won a couple. We've watched them play a couple of times, and they felt like they lost a lot of one-score games. They had a lot of talent on these teams. They bring a lot of that talent back this year. They get a new coach. May have been the refresh that they needed. They nearly beat Capen in week one, a team that went to the state championship. They beat Mays, who's historically awesome. This week they played Goddard. Week one, Goddard beat Mays by 4 points. It was 7-3 in that one. So very well, if the Andover offense shows up, we can see them win another one and win back-to-back games, which sounds unheard of that we talked about a year ago. We went out, Rachel Hallam, our reporter, went and talked to them this week. We did a story on them, and it was the best story I've heard in a couple of weeks, is that they were saying, like, what a time to be alive. It's a high. We were crying in the stands. It's the best part about high school football.
Paul, not to bring up bad memories here. So last week, of course, you were on the sideline for Northwest and East. Of course, you're on the East side, but Northwest came in. It was a defensive battle, low scoring game as Northwest gets the win 14-0. Definitely valiant effort by the Blue Aces. What were your big takeaways from that matchup a week ago?
Well, I thought it was a fairly even matched football game. I mean, East gave up two long plays, but you know something? Sometimes you have to stop those kind of plays. But it was a fun game to coach in, and I really enjoyed it a lot. It was a physical, physical football game. And one of the games that kind of interests me this week is Junction City and Northwest. Junction City is pretty good. Northwest is pretty good. I think Northwest will probably win this game, but any feel on that game? Because this is a big 6A game, Junction City and Northwest. I mean, you know, we always hear about the teams on the east side of the state. I guess Junction City, is that east side of the state? I think it.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, but anyway, I think that's a big game. The other interesting thing that I saw this week is that, and TJ, you can address this. It's interesting that Wellington is still ranked as one of the ranked teams in 3A. I find that fascinating. They're 0-2,
yeah,
and yet they're still ranked. Why is that?
Yeah, they're our game of the week this week. We're going to be down there watching them play Clearwater. Clearwater has had a little bit of woes. I know last year I think they won two or three games. They're off to a 2-0 start. They moved their star wide receiver. He's playing quarterback this year. So maybe it's a different team that we've seen. And for that reason, it's our game of the week. It's a 2-0 team that has proven that they may be a different team. And Wellington's 0-2, and they're ranked. But they're ranked because they lost to Collegiate by 2 points, I think. They lost to Andale by a touchdown and had them on the ropes the entire game. They were leading in the fourth quarter in both of those games and have just fallen short. Looking at their schedule, I wouldn't be surprised if Wellington wins every single game the rest of the way until the playoffs. They're really good. Their quarterback is one of the best in the state, Dusty Bannister. They got a really good wide receiver named Carter Burnett. I watched them in that Collegiate game, and they looked like freaking Patrick Mahomes, Texas Tech offense, just going full air raid mode. Yeah. They throw the hell out of the football. Right. They were really fun team to watch. Now, it should be an excitement on the
by the way, Tommy, that quarterback for Wellington threw against Andale. That's a good football team defensively. Threw for 480 yards.
Yeah.
480 yards in a high school game. I mean, when was the last time you saw that? I don't even know that I've ever seen it personally live. I've never seen that. So they are good. I guess that answers my question. Why are they still ranked? They're darn good.
Damn right.
Yeah, and you know what? Andale, credit to them because they survived that shootout against Wellington. Andale back at home tonight taking on Rose Hill. Another game, Paul, that you're involved with tonight with East taking on Capen. I know we've talked about it before, the respect that that you have for Weston Shartz taking over the Capen program a couple of years ago. You know, Capen, as TJ mentioned a few minutes ago, they made it to the state championship game a year ago. Maybe not quite as talented because they lost some of their key performers from last year to this year. What's the biggest challenge that the Blue Aces, as you guys are preparing for this game, look to try to stop Capen?
It's the same thing that every coach, TJ, make a note of this, because every coach, whenever they play Capen, they're probably going to tell you the same thing. We stop power off tackle, we stop ISO, we stop trap, and we stop toss. If you can stop those four plays, you have a chance of beating Capen. The problem is stopping them. That's the problem. Because you know they're coming, and they do it anyway. So that's the problem. TJ, I think you'd probably agree that Capen is one of those teams that says, here's what we're going to do. We dare you to stop us. Am I far off on that?
Yeah, I haven't watched them play this year, but just watching them play when Omari Elias was playing running back for them, that's exactly right. I remember last year watching them play against Northwest in probably one of the best games of the year. They found themselves like 3rd and 15, right, and like, we're going to trap it up the middle, and he's going to run for 30 yards. And it's absurd how well that they do it. And
I know
what they're going to do.
Tell me about it.
I haven't seen what it looks like without Omari Elias back there. I imagine it has to drop off a little bit when you lose the city's all-time leading rusher. So I don't know what the offense looks like. Tonight's going to be the biggest test that they've faced so far against that East defense that has so many playmakers.
You know, we kicked off the segment by talking about Andover. Of course, they beat Mays last week. Mays is back home this weekend taking on Hutchinson in a big 6A matchup. You know, obviously, TJ, historically, Hutchinson's been a pretty strong program. I know they've already played Derby this season. Now they're on the road taking on Mays. Is this a game that you think Mays can bounce back from their loss against Andover a week ago, or is Hutchinson just too powerful?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, we really touted Hutchinson up to be a really great team. I'm not sure. I know Terrell King, he's their cornerback slash wide receiver slash running back, the guy that drives the bus to the games, everything like that. He was injured week one. And I think he was in week two as well. So completely different team. I mean, you don't have that kind of player on the field. We saw him lose by multiple scores to Andover Central in week one when he wasn't out there. So if he's without him, this could be a game that Mays could bounce back against them. But there's still a lot of talent there as well. But even though Mays lost two games and lost two games they probably should have won, they've got one of the fastest dudes in the state in their wide receiver room in Bryson Hayes. And they just need to find ways to get him the football. And the offense will click, I think. I think that we saw what they've done with this offense when they went to the state championship back-to-back years. It's the same coaching staff. It's everything. They just need to – I know that you don't have Avery Johnson playing quarterback.
Right.
But still a lot of talent, a lot of great things that can happen for the Mays Eagles. I don't think the season's over yet, and they showed that last year.
Hey, yeah, that's – I mean, look, I think just real quick, Paul, I mean, you drop off. And I think people, you know, not that you forget about it, but – like you just expect Mays and programs like that when they've got super talented players to just continue as just a factory. Avery Johnson is one of one, right? And so it makes it that much more difficult when you've got to try to replace him at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that last year they had Drew Kemp. He went down with an injury and they kind of had to fall back to a dude that was a true freshman last year.
Yeah.
And, Pierce, I can't remember his last name, but his first name's Pierce. He was a true freshman last year. He's gotten some snaps back there this year. And it seems like the offense just hasn't really figured it out. I talked to Coach Guzman before the season started, and they said they're going to have to get creative. You know, when you have a Nebraska commit in your offense somewhere, you got to find a way to get him more involved, whether that's putting him a running back, putting him a wide receiver. And there's a lot of guys on this team that are going to be playing on Saturdays, whatever level that may be. There's just something that needs to click. But, you know, last year, like I said, they were not a great team. They lost a lot of games and still found a way to win two or three playoff games late down the stretch. So I think that it's a tough start for them, but it's not over yet.
You know, TJ, I'd love you to give me the top two or three, let's say three guys, three players in Kansas right now. The three highest recruited kids that you're aware of, and there's a number of them, but give me your top three most highly recruited players in the state of Kansas. Doesn't matter what position, doesn't matter what class they're in, doesn't matter what school. What are your top three most highly recruited kids?
Yeah, just for kids in our area, at least, I can't be that much to vouch for the eastern side of the state. But obviously, when you look at Goodland, you got Lincoln Cure out there, and he's a freak in everything that happens out there.
That's right.
He's awesome. But even just keeping it in the Wichita area, I think that Deson Brahm, the tight end from Derby, is probably one of the best that you'll see in the city. I know he was committed to Oregon. He flipped to Tennessee. Watching him last year, you're like, that's a dude that you're probably going to be seeing play football for a long time, past the next level. I think that he's got that kind of frame and everything goes right at the next level. We could see him play on Sundays, maybe. That's a big statement, but great talent there. And then just looking at some of the others, you know, between East and Northwest, some of the guys there, off the top of my head, just naming a couple. Northwest has the linebacker, John Michael Fountain, is a class of 2026 guy. I know that Iowa State was there last week watching that game, watching him and Jalen Mason. Matt Campbell flew into Wichita to watch that game. I like John Michael Fountain a lot on the defense. Just some of the highlights that he made last week are incredible. Ian Premer, great Bend guy, number one player in 2026. Like a 6'6" twig, pretty much, but he's one of the stupidest athletic players in the state. We joke. We have a couple of stringers that live in Great Bend, so we get a lot of Great Bend content coming in, and the dude plays football, basketball, baseball, and track. And he's good at every single one of them. So we thought about just renaming the show the Ian Premer Show after how much he is dominating the Catch a Kansas show every week.
I love that. TJ, we've got just a quick moment left before we let you go. What do you guys have going on at Catch a Kansas? What are the other big games you guys are covering this weekend?
Yeah, one that didn't get mentioned that I want to bring up is Ark City at Andover Central. Last week, I think Ark City went 2-7 last year or 1-8 last year, something like that. They only picked up one win, and I think it was over Andover, now that I'm saying it. Last week, they beat Salina Central, who's a team that is constantly a great team in 5A. They've got one of the best quarterbacks in 5A, I think, in Jack Gordon. They went to Ark City. Ark City knocked him off by a point. Now they get Andover Central, the big test that you can get pretty much in the area in that classification. Andover Central is a great team. I expect them to be competing for a state championship this year. But Ark City, when you knock off a team like that, it's a statement. If they can knock off Andover Central, that's an even bigger statement. So that's one that we'll be watching tonight, definitely. So this week we've got Rachel Hallam and Brandon Zinner. Rachel was at Kansas State last week, so we kind of get the full staff coverage going tonight for the first time. So we'll have live coverage leading up to all the games on 12 News, and then have the Catch at Kansas show show. It's going to be a late one. I know I think we've got CW football, ACC tonight. So catch a chill meal about 2 a.m. So make sure you're checking up on the website so you can catch all the games. There still will be coverage coming on, I promise, even if it's not there for you.
Yeah, it's going to be a late night. Get some rest leading up to it. Of course, you can get all the coverage at catchitkansas.com. And like you mentioned, TJ, make sure to check out the Catch It Kansas show. Enjoy the games this weekend, TJ. We're glad that we've got you on the program. We'll talk to you again next week.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
All right. There goes TJ Cleland, 12 News and Catch It Kansas. We're going to step aside for another timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the show next. It's Sports Daily on KFH. This portion of Sports Daily brought to you by our friends at Crestview Country Club. Want to thank them for their support of the program. It was a hot day yesterday, going to be a hot day today, and I think tomorrow too, Paul. But then Sunday rolls around, the temperature drops, the weather's going to be beautiful. There's nothing I love more than playing golf in the fall. I think it's going to be just absolutely beautiful outside. So we want to thank Crestview for their support of the program. You can find out more about being a member at Crestview Country Club and taking advantage of those really nice days. Contact them and they'll definitely take care of you.
Oh, there's no question about that. And they always treat us so well, don't they? I'm just really proud to have Crestview as one of our sponsors. I think it's wonderful. I love them out there.
Yep, 100%. So we appreciate them and them being a part of Sports Daily. We have just a moment before we go to our final break and then wrap up the show. We'll tell you all about the weekend schedule coming up on the other side. But really quick, Paul, I know we talked about it at the very beginning of the show. The Kansas City Royals have a huge 3-game set at home this weekend at Kauffman, taking on the Giants. I'll actually be at the game tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that. But really, I think it's going to be that much more essential for Kansas City to handle their business at home this weekend because they finish up the regular season on the road.
Well, yeah, it's a big deal. This is a big deal. I mean, you want to see the team that's a 2-time Super Bowl champion dominate a little more, don't you? I mean, I kind of want to see that. This is supposedly a team that's going to three-peat. And, boy, it's a long season if you're going to win by one, win by two, play those kind of close games. Now with the Ravens, you get it. The Ravens at the time they played were supposed to be – well, actually, a lot of people thought that was a preview of the Super Bowl, and rightfully so. Why not? It could be of Super Bowl teams. So I don't know where the Chiefs are right now. I don't know that we've seen the real Chiefs, but I want to see the real Chiefs take a team and put them away. And when I mean put them away, I mean win a game by 10. Win a game by 12, something like that. And we haven't seen that. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some domination, Tommy. I'm looking for some physical domination.
Yeah, that game, of course, in primetime Sunday night in Atlanta, the Chiefs take on the Falcons. You can hear the Chiefs Radio Network on KNSS. You can hear the national coverage right here on KFH. We'll run through the entire weekend schedule, including that 3-game set in Kauffman as the Royals take on the Giants. We'll talk about that and everything else going on the network on the other side. It's Sports Daily on KFH.